a show highlighting the diverse landscape of businesses in the Niagara region. Niagara Made with Ruth Unruh, News Talk 610 CKTV.
Welcome to Niagara Made on 610 CKTV. I'm your host, Ruth Unruh, and today I'm talking to Kim Rossi from Pathstone Mental Health and Pathstone Foundation. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you so much. I listened to the show and now I'm on it. That's very cool.
And now you're on it. I love that. And we're really happy that you could join us today. Kim, can you tell us about Pathstone and the history of the organization and just sort of like a snapshot of Pathstone?
Yeah, so Pathstone didn't exist in that namesake initially. It has assumed a few names over the last 55 years, but it was really a group of people, community-minded people, that knew that children's mental health was an illness and of concern. They were the ones that really started to break down stigma of what mental health was in children versus behavioral, they're just a bad kid or badly behaved child, or they weren't raised right. So they were the ones that really identified that mental health issues existed in children and were bold in moving forward with getting a small facility and starting to address the needs of kids. Now, at the time, there was, the language used around describing mental illness was not necessarily a language that we use now, but they were the innovators, really and truly.
And who were these individuals? People who were they doctors? Were they teachers? Were they people working with children that saw this?
A lot of them were teachers and those that were working with children. So a couple come to mind because they've been Hope Award recipients in the past. Dr. Mackin is one. Connie Costanzo, who is another. Diane Shepherd is another. Those were, people that we acknowledged through Hope Awards in the past. And they were the ones that, put their foot forward with regards to children's mental health issues.
And what was the vision when they first came together? And when was that? I think it was back in the 60s, right?
Yeah, I want to say like 1967 is about the timeline I have in my mind. I mean, I've been with Pathstone for 5.5 years, so that history and timeline isn't as vivid in my mind, but it was back in the 60s. So, I mean, if you think about how we talked about mental health issues and how we even treated them then, like psych wards, straitjackets, like heavily medicated, that's what we knew and how we addressed those issues. And they just knew, I don't know if it was instinctive. I don't know if because they weren't psychologists. They were community-minded people. They were teachers, as I mentioned, they were counselors, and they just knew that there was something deeper there. With regards to the mental health issues that kids were experiencing. It was more than just giving them Ritalin and throwing them out of class and, or locking them up sort of thing.
Well, certainly, in the 60s, so I would have been, I think we're looking at like 1966 or something. So I'd have been like 7 years old or something like that, right? Born in 59. And I don't recall growing up and talking about any of the things associated with mental health the way we do now. You're right, to your point, children were thought of as, good or bad or that sort of thing. And when we talked about, mental health and we were talking about psych wards and that sort of thing, that's for adults, right? So clearly these people must have, that organized this must have felt that there was an opportunity here for us as a community to take a look at children with some of these behaviors and look at that in a different light. And if we can help with mental health issues earlier on, that will help going forward.
Yeah, we didn't have that intel then, right? Like, so research has obviously fed our practices and our knowledge, and we are where we are now. And gosh, I'm really interested to know where we'll be 10 to 15 to 20 years from now. I know that we're, the momentum we have is positive and it's forward focused. But I'm really curious to know where we will be, you know, 20 years from now in this space, because we've come miles.
Yes.
Even just the way we talk about it as adults, how kids talk about it with their peers. They put up their hand when I talk to them in classrooms saying, oh, I go to Passstone for my anxiety. Like they own it and it's just part of who they are. And it's not looked at as a detriment the way it once was.
You're right. You wonder where this is, how it's going to change in 10 years, because so much has changed so recently, right? Where kids are talking about it and it's okay. When I was growing up, and I don't know when you were growing up, we never talked about that sort of thing. Nobody actually said to you, hey, are you okay? What's going on? I don't even know if we heard about anxiety, right? You thought about it as something else. And it'll be very interesting to see what happens. And I know too that although it's great, and for sure it's great that we're able to talk about it now and kids are able to identify and seek services, but it also has an impact now on how you're able to respond to that need, because there's so many more kids coming forward with these issues.
We are, you know, encountering a significant wait list at Pathstone, as you can imagine. And, you know, the question I get asked often is it because of the pandemic? And yes and no. So we were always seeing an 8 to 10% increase every year at Pathstone before the pandemic. When the pandemic hit, what it did was it reduced our capacity to see as many kids as we were seeing in a calendar year. And so when we can't do group clinics and when we can't do parenting sessions in larger groups and we have to do this work one at a time, it just lengthens how long it's going to take to get through the process. And so with that accumulates a wait list that's now, I can share with you, 820 kids long. And the average wait time ranges from 157 days to upwards of 8 months. And so we know it's a problem and we know there's, you know, too many kids on the wait list. But at the same time, it was a factor that came because of the pandemic, not to mention the pandemic related issues that have, you know, manifested with regards to the children we're seeing. So some of them were coming to see us anyway. Some of them are coming to see us because of COVID issues that they encountered, experienced, and haven't been able to move past or through. And then we have just the overall schematics of capacity. You can only see so many kids at a time when you have capacity restrictions.
Tell us some of the basics about Pathstone then. So Pathstone exists in its current form. It was a number of other things. It was the Niagara Child Development Center, Niagara Center for Youth Care. But you're servicing kids that are between the ages of?
0 up until their 18th birthday. And we do get some confusion because once you turn 18, once you celebrate that birthday, you actually transition to the adult sector. The adult sector crosses over with Pathstone a little bit too. And I kind of compare this to seeing a pediatrician versus a GP. Some kids are ready to see a GP sooner than others. So from 16 upwards, you can actually be served in the adult sector. So Pathstone caters to start of life up until 18th birthday to anyone living in Niagara and their families, of course.
Do you know off the top of your head, what's the youngest child that has been treated through Pathstone?
3, I would say, 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And so really the question comes like, how do you do counseling with a 2 or a 3-year-old? And they present differently than maybe an 8, 9, 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 14-year-old would. And they don't have the same language capacity to communicate, but we do art and play therapy. And that's a way for us to see what's going on with regards to younger people. And a lot of times the parents are the gateway to information, right? They've observed something. They're not sure that it's on par with what should be happening. You know, appropriate childhood experiences. What do those look like? And then we talk to the parents about what their childhood looked like and what their upbringing looked like, because we do see a lot of cyclical issues here. And we have an opportunity with our infant mental health program specifically, which is like 0 to 3, to intercept, to show what appropriate childhood experiences are and what they look like, and then teach the parents how to offer those attachment exercises with their new children.
Then you're providing services not just to the children, but also to the families to ensure that sort of is a wraparound kind of thing, right? Because you can't always know what the environment is like in the home, but you can tell them what's appropriate.
Right. And oftentimes, well, no, not oftentimes, all times, we meet with the parents and caregivers before we meet with the children to get a grasp of what the environment is like. And we learned a long time ago, but this wasn't always the practice, that, you know, a mental health issue is not just a singular issue for someone. It's a whole family affair. It's a community-wide affair because it affects everything from their friend group to how they're learning in school, to how they're interacting with others. So it affects teachers and fellow students and friends and family, et cetera.
Can you tell us some of the programs and services, the other programs and services you have available through Pathstone? I know you have properties. There's some place in Niagara Falls. You've also got something up on Merrittville Highway, and soon to come is the River House in Welland. Can you tell us about some of the programs you offer, either through those locations or through the Branscombe Center?
Sure. So we have 17 to 18 different programs at Pathstone. I sometimes lose count. There's a youth justice program, which we don't talk about enough. And what this is, young people that have, you know, found themselves on the wrong side of the law, maybe going to court for whatever the issue is, whether it was, you know, assault or break and enter or what have you. But these are young people still. So they are often supported by us through our youth justice program to kind of go through that process with them of being in court and answering in front of a judge, but then also the rehabilitation that has to happen to ensure that we don't repeat this pattern, that they are not someone that's going to find themselves in court for life or in jail. The other part of that, it allows them to make better choices moving forward, not just with how they interact in society, but, you know, staying in school and completing high school and graduation and then what happens next. So it's a really vital crossroad that these young people face, and our services that we offer. And I've got great testimonials and stories of how the outcomes have changed dramatically for those kids that are going through our youth justice program. To talk about some of our other sites, Rotary House in Niagara Falls is our live-in treatment center. So kids that are no longer living at home for a variety of reasons, maybe we've tried other types of therapy with them already that haven't been effective, they may come to live with us at Rotary House for an extended period of time, anywhere from 3 to 8 months, sometimes as young as 12 years old. They're still going to school. They're still going to their extracurriculars. They're still engaging with their family, but they're living in our home environment. We're teaching them life skills. We're teaching them better communication skills. We're boosting their social skills. We're teaching them, like I said, the life skills, like laundry and how to pitch in to help make a meal and cleaning up afterward. And so that when we, and then we're working with the families in their home, as well as the youth that's with us, to then reconnect them in a stronger, more effective way so they can, you know, be a family in a healthier way. Mountain View Center for Innovative Learning is our school for students in grades 1 through 8. So in tandem with a DSBN teacher and a Pathstone therapist, they are working together on a customized learning plan for these students. So they were at a traditional school, for whatever reason, they were not thriving either socially, emotionally, educationally, or maybe all three. And so they've transitioned to our school typically for one full school year. They're still getting their grade, but they're learning how to address their lagging skills. And we're eventually transitioning them back to the school they came to us from, a stronger student in all aspects. So we do deal with a lot of behavioral issues for sure at Mountain View Center. We have a gym that is focused on providing tools that allow them to release aggression in a healthy way. We've got sensory rooms at Mountain View Center. We've got an outdoor learning and play hub. So we have outdoor classrooms. We have all kinds of new play hubs that engage all 5 senses to play effectively. So you won't see the traditional swing set and slides at the Mountain View Center for Innovative Learning. It's really based on using creativity to play. So the tendency for them to hurt themselves or fall or whatever is reduced dramatically because they have to be fully engaged to play versus you know how a slide works, right? Up the ladder, down the slide. And when you're bored, you go up the slide and down the ladder, and that's right. When you get, right? So that's what's offered at the Mountain View Center. And then River House, which we are really excited to open soon, is a site in Welland that is replicating what's at the Branscombe Center in Niagara, in St. Catharines. But what it's allowing is parents and families from Niagara South to get to us a lot easier. So Port Colborne, Fort Erie, parts of Niagara Falls, Thorold, Waynefleet, like we, and Welland, of course, we've got you. We've got you closer to your own backyard, making program completion that much more likely, because we know when a child completes their program at Pathstone, the success rate is 87%. But when they don't, we don't have those same outcomes. And if travel is a barrier from the day one, it's probably going to be the reason why they don't complete the program. They cancel more appointments than they keep, and nobody wins in that case.
87% success rate.
Mm-hmm. When completing a program.
When completing a program. And is there an average time for a program?
It depends. So Brief Services was 0 to 3 sessions, but because kids are on the wait list so long to get into Brief Services, we've noticed that that program runtime is anywhere from 6 to 10 to 12 sessions, sometimes more. So we need to do some work with regards to Brief Services. And as long as the wait list exists, I don't know, you know, I don't know the likeliness of us being able to reduce those sessions, because the last thing we want to do is get a child into Brief Services after a long wait and then say, oh, you're not brief anymore. You're actually needing a more moderate or long-term program. We'll have to put you on that list now. That's not what we want to do. So we've been taking on Brief Services clients and just keeping them longer to try to work through what the issue is. Also to mention, the walk-in clinics that we have right across the region of Niagara now, we're 10 strong, are immediate. There's no wait. You can be seen, but they're based on single session appointments or walk-ins. What kids are coming to see us at the walk-in clinic for is coping strategies half of the time, which is amazing because they want to learn how to support themselves better. And that's really why the walk-in clinic was designed.
That's amazing. And I know that you're getting a really big uptick in with the walk-in. And I know you've got one now at the Penn Center, which is a great way to bring those services, much needed services, to where the kids are.
For sure. And the Penn Center is an amazing partner for us. It's our busiest walk-in clinic, hands down, even bigger than the Branscombe Center walk-in clinic, which is open 5 days a week. Penn Center is every Monday and Friday, but it's busy. And we've realized that's exactly where we should be. And we're in conversation with the Seaway Mall in Welland as well to do a similar walk-in clinic there soon.
If you're just joining us today, I'm talking to Kim Rossi, who is the Director of Philanthropy and Public Relations for Pathstone Mental Health and Pathstone Foundation. So I'm saying those two things because we know that so there's government funding that's available that Pathstone Mental Health accesses, but there's also a foundation, which means you're able to go and create that buzz in the community and get donors, and how important that is in order to provide the programs and services for what you need for the community. And I also know that you're very much involved with the Pathstone Mental Health Board of Directors and the staff with Pathstone Mental Health to identify what the programs and services are. And that's why you're able to provide some of the things that you do. But can you talk to us a little bit about how that whole thing works?
87% of Pathstone is running on Ministry of Health dollars. So if I have to give you a number, I'd say just under $9 million a year comes from the Ministry of Health. Last year, it cost us $13 million to run. So there's a $4 million shortfall there. And that's where the foundation comes in. And we were blessed. It's the only word I can think to describe the generosity of donors last year, that we were able to easily close that funding gap. We're fundraising this year for next year. So we're not, you know, hey, if we can't get this money today, we close tomorrow. That's not the situation. We're fundraising already to pay for everything for next year. Ministry of Health money hasn't really changed in a really long time. And as you can imagine, every year staff are being paid a little bit more than they were the year before. And that's just how the wheel goes round. I mean, it just is what it is. So what we want to avoid is getting into a position where the salaries outpace the Ministry of Health money, and then we're stuck with either layoffs, which we cannot do because we have a wait list that is far exceeding the team we already have. We actually are looking to hire 6 to 7 social workers. So if you know of anyone, send them our way. But the foundation is an integral part of Pathstone Mental Health. We actually fund through donors all of the walk-in clinic program, so all 10 walk-in clinics. The cost to run all of those clinics is about $320,000 a year, funded by donors. The Mountain View Center for Innovative Learning that got a full facelift and those extra play and learning hubs outside was funded by donors. The Mountain View Natural Playground and Healing Garden here at Branscombe Center, also funded by donors. And we actually do fund 2 brief services staff because we needed more staff in that program because of the pandemic and the weight that it put on some kids. And there's other staff that the foundation actually funds. The trouble with that, of course, is we have to make sure we get that funding every year to keep that staff member on our team. So we've got an immense responsibility. So that's what, and if we didn't have the foundation, Ruth, we would not be able to do what we are doing with the amount of kids that we are seeing every year. So despite the fact that we have a wait list, we're still seeing leaps and bounds more people than we'd be able to if we didn't have the foundation.
Thanks to the generous community out there. I want to spend some time too talking about, in April, it's a Volunteer Appreciation Month or week. There's a week in April for Volunteer Appreciation.
Be.
Yeah. And I know that volunteers are a huge part of what it is you do there too. So talk to us about your volunteer program.
Our volunteer program was actually, it's not saying it's not my responsibility. I reap the benefits of our volunteers every day. Linda Vespoli-Birch is the one that coordinates our student volunteers and our volunteer program. So I can just share with you that the pop-up store that we did at the Penn Center through the month of November was open Monday to Sunday, mall hours. And staffing it for 5 weeks was a bit of an undertaking for sure. We had more than 40 volunteers taking up hundreds of hours at the Penn Center without a hiccup. There was no one that canceled. There was no one that didn't show up. They were on board for that whole 5 week, Monday to Sunday shift. They were crafting. They're making we have a crafting group now that they make these crocheted little worry worms, they're called. So kids can fidget with them. They're in our reception area. Kids can just pick them up and take them. We make stress balls. We make, there's a calm bomb. It's like a fuzzy little guy with googly eyes and infused with lavender that kids can put their fingers in to calm them. And our volunteers make all this stuff. We have volunteers that make breakfast for the kids at Mountain View every morning that we, don't talk about enough. But we probably have 80 to 90 volunteers. And then our team at Meridian, they want to volunteer with anything that we're doing. So they filled pop-up shop hours. They help us with Project Plaid. When we had Fill the Pig Feel Better, they were instrumental in helping us orchestrate that. We also have volunteers that are former Pathstone therapists that have retired and they want to stay connected. So they host health fairs for us. We were just at GBF, Grimsby Benevolent Fund in Grimsby, for their health and wellness fair. Karen McLean, our retired therapist, was there operating the booth, but also answering questions that parents had about their kids and about their nieces, nephews, grandkids, neighbors. So we have they are so vital. And I guess if you have to put a salary on it, we'd probably save about $75,000 a year, or it equates to about $75,000 a year in giving.
It's very significant then what you're doing with volunteers and what you're able to do with the number of volunteers. I mean, just staffing that Penn Center pop-up store is an amazing story. And then I didn't realize about the breakfast program too at Mountain View.
Yeah. And, through the pandemic, I was concerned about keeping our volunteers engaged because we did a couple of events through COVID to try to just keep things going and moving and keep people engaged. But we also turned our volunteers into social media ambassadors. So we talked to them about, hey, we really want to promote this throughout the month of February. Can you help with posting this graphic and this narrative on your social media? And they did. And so that was just another, you know, touch point for us to keep them engaged. We did our thank-a-thon where we call every single donor that's made a contribution of like a dollar to a million. And we pick up the phone or email them a thank you. And our volunteers help do that too. So we realize that they feel great value and pride in supporting us. And we feel that for them too. So we wanted to make sure, especially through the pandemic, that we were checking in and making sure that they were doing okay. And if we could have them do anything for us to make them feel valuable, we wanted to make sure we were doing that.
I want to make sure everybody out there too knows how they can reach you for various things. I mean, there's a number of things that people can do to support Pathstone and the services that you provide. Through third-party events or through volunteering. Can you tell us how to access you if there's anybody out there interested in donating or any of those things?
Yeah, so if you're interested in donating, volunteering, sponsoring an event, hosting your own event, you can just come to me directly. It's the easiest way, and then I can send you in the direction that needs to be. I always talk about Teresa Ettore at the City of Welland. If I need to know anything about the City of Welland, she is my person. Like, I go to her and I get the answer and I'm on the right path. And so I am your Teresa Ettore for Pathstone. So Kay Rossi at pathstone.ca. And my email is also on the website, pathstonefoundation.ca or pathstonementalhealth.ca. Easiest way to reach me.
Okay, Kim, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today on Niagara Made. The work that you're doing with Pathstone is so very necessary in our community, and we appreciate all of your efforts. I'm Ruth Unruh. I've been talking to Kim Rossi from Pathstone Mental Health. Have a great day, and thanks for listening to Niagara Made right here on 610 CKTV.
This has been Niagara Made, a show highlighting businesses in the Niagara area. For more information and past shows, visit our website, 610cktv.com.